Okay, I'm going to introduce our speaker this morning is Robin Miyakawa. I've known Robin for a long time, and I actually even lived in her house with a bunch of other girls when her family was living overseas at one point. So we go way back. She has been married to her husband for 30 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's fun? So we asked them what her occupation was before or during kids. So before kids, she was a statistical consultant for Dow. Then with kids, she was a homeschool mom, which is a full-time job. And then most recently, she's been a theater director and producer for a missionary school in Thailand, right? Her kids are Evan, who's 24, Kristen is 22, and Kendall is 20. So two boys and a girl. A couple of them are married. So we asked her, when are you most tired during the day and what do you do about it? She said, mid-afternoon, I take a short nap on the couch. Because if I get in my bed, forget it. It's a two-hour nap and then no sleep at night. On the couch, I can nap for 20 to 30 minutes and get my second wind. And we asked her if she had any sleep-deprived, funny mom moments to share with us. And she says that on this same couch, I would be reading aloud to my kids mid-morning during our homeschool day. They would be sitting at my feet, playing quietly with Legos, etc. Then I would get sleepy and say, hey, I'm just going to rest for about 10 minutes, then keep reading. You guys just keep playing. 20 to 30 minutes later, hey, Mom, are you going to finish reading to us? That was a regular occurrence.
Pretty much.
That sounds nice. My kids don't let me nap like that. Maybe someday. And then something interesting about her, she loves to sew and knows how to reupholster furniture. And one summer brought back 40 yards of upholstery fabric from Thailand and reupholstered both living room couches, finishing 2 hours before catching a flight back to Thailand for the next year. Yeah. You got it done. So yes, please welcome Robin Miyakawa.
Thank you. Yes, am I working? Can you hear me? Yes? Oh, yes, I hear me, so that's good. All right, let me just get set up here. All right. Well, thank you so much for inviting me to come and speak to you today. Is Stephanie Bingle in here? No, she's not here today. I think this was her idea, so we can blame her for having me come and speak, but I'm really honored to be here. And I thought that the thing that we need to do first is introduce you to my tribe. They're a rough crowd, and I can tell you that the Sharpie did eventually come off of their faces. My husband's was real. I don't think this is going to work very well. The others with Sharpie. While I was gone, I don't know where I was, but they always have a lot of fun without me. So this is a little more recently. There's my husband, Tom, there of almost 31 years. My oldest son, Evan, and his wife, Madison, 24 and 25. My daughter, Kristen, almost 23. Her husband, also almost 23. And Kendall is our baby. He's 20. So all Taylor people, this was taken almost exactly 2 years ago at Taylor's homecoming. He is now getting a PhD in statistics at Baylor University. She's coming back to Taylor next year to get a master's degree in higher education. Kristen has a degree in graphic design and is a professional wedding photographer and, you know, ad hoc graphic design. Nick is studying for the MCAT to get into medical school. So that's like the big prayer thing right now. It's just go Nick in February, get that test great. Kendall is computer science, a junior at Taylor. So one kind of crazy thing was 2 years ago, we had two weddings in 11 months. So the first one, our son Evan, it was right after we got home from Thailand, and like, you know, 3 weeks later we had a wedding, and then a few weeks later, Kristen and Nick got engaged, and their wedding was the following June. So a little over a year, a little over 2 years. And here's Kendall and Kendall. So Kendall, his hair is even longer than this now. And I said, if the craziest thing you ever do is grow out your hair long, I am okay with that. He just told me he's going to get it cut next week, so that'll be fun to see. Kendall spent the summer at Compassion International as an intern, and on the weekends he climbed 14ers. So 14,000 foot peak. So he did 11. So there's Kendall on top of one of the peaks in Colorado. So I do believe we've lost Kendall to Colorado. I don't know that, you know, he's going to figure out a way to live out there sometime. So I'm kind of pre-mourning. Are you a pre-mourner? I'm a pre-griever. I'm pre-grieving the fact that Kendall's going to move off to Colorado someday. So the reason that I know that I was asked to speak is because we have been College Park missionaries for the last 11 years. And so I was asked to speak on weaving life and ministry. And before I get started into the content, I just want to make a couple of caveats. And the first is that I don't really feel that different or special. It's just that God called us to do something that happened to be 8,000 miles away from here. And we said yes. And the other thing that I just want to emphasize is that we do not have a perfect family. So we are now seven sinners saved by grace. We all struggle with shortcomings. We breathe in the dirty air of the culture, whatever culture we happen to be in at the moment. And we all need to grow in exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit. But we all love God, and we are looking to Him to work out what is best in our lives. So we're just a little farther down the track than all of you, but we're just all figuring out as we go along. So just to define what ministry is, ministry is service to God and to others in His name. And at College Park Church, we talk about igniting a passion to follow Jesus. And by ministering to each other and to the world, we ignite a passion within each other and within others to follow Him. John 13, 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And if you go into your Bible app or Google and you ask for all the different references to one another in Scripture, there's a bazillion of them. You know, love one another, encourage one another, serve one another, pray for one another. And this is what we are called to do. So I thought that today I'd share our story of ministry through the years. And as I do, there are three themes that I want you to listen for, and then we'll talk about these at the end. The first one is the centrality of family. The second is seasons of life. And the third is to bloom where you are planted. So our story, so Tom came from Purdue. I came from a small Christian college. I was a straight-laced Christian girl. He was a partying frat boy. We met in class at Texas A&M, and something I never thought I would do, I succumbed to missionary dating. So I fell in love with a guy who was not a believer. Scary, 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 except that he was a pretty great guy. And God had ordained all of that, led him to the Lord, and so we got engaged in the hot air balloon. So we were going places before we even knew we were going places, right? So while we were there in College Station, Texas, we were part of a very vibrant church. And Tom said, "Okay, look, I'm a new believer. Our church has a school of world evangelism. Can we just take a semester before we start our careers and go through this school, because we'll get a lot of Bible training and all of that?" And that just fit. Like, it just fit really well where we were in life. So we did, and so we went to Mexico. So that's Tom in the sombrero there, and me with the long hair. And so that was really our first time as a couple doing foreign missions, international missions. I had done some things before. Yes, that's me with the long hair. I was sporting the long hair for a long time. And so that was a really great start to our marriage. And then we moved to Indianapolis in 1990. Tom took a position as a statistical consultant for Eli Lilly. And I took a job as a statistical consultant for Dow Chemical, now called Corteva, over here at 96th and Zionsville. And that was a really fun period of our lives. We both had very exciting careers, and I had a lot of global travel. And so I went all over the world teaching scientists how to use statistics in their work. And Tom got to travel with me. And so we just, you know, global, global, global. This is kind of this theme that was coming up in our lives. And so obviously for both of us, ministry at that point was like shining the light of Christ at work, but also we were involved in church, and we did a lot of youth group stuff. My husband is just really a 12-year-old. I mean, like, truly, Now he's 55, but he's still like a 12-year-old in many energetic and wonderful ways, right? We won't talk about all the negative things that come with 12-year-olds, but mostly it's really good. And so we did a lot of youth ministry. We did small groups. There's the basketball, so, involving sports. Just got involved where we felt like God was saying, yes, do this. We're called to this and called to that. So that was a really great season. And then 6 years later, after 4 years of infertility, then boom, 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 then came the babies. And at that point, it's a very natural shift towards ministry being, towards the home. And so I remember when I had one or two, carrying the kids in the pumpkin seats and being in the women's group and all of that at church. But by and large, we had always said that, I would stay home and probably homeschool our kids. And so life revolved around the home. I did almost always have some sort of side gig going, like a little business here, a little business there, which is a nice thing, right, for women to just have something outside of just diapers and food, to have something to keep their minds busy and just be involved with other adults. You're doing this, which is awesome. So I did that, but basically ministry was around the home. And about that same time, so there they are, looking at a Bible. I thought, that's a good picture for, But about that same time in 2001, God led us to College Park. And the kids were 6, 4, and 2 at the time. And God really started expanding our world, both theologically and geographically. We started getting stronger teaching on great topics like the sovereignty of God, unlocking the heart, the sufficiency of Scripture for any problem in our lives. And we were also more exposed to the global mission mindset of College Park Church on a regular basis. And in the meantime, I was homeschooling and a part of the master's study, which meets here at College Park still to this day. And that provided me a new avenue for ministry and community with my kids. And at the same time, Tom was going on global mission trips every year with College Park, started to South Africa and then Kenya. And then in 2003, this was kind of the start of a new trajectory just in our thinking. Tom and I, he's there somewhere, he's in the back, there I am, and there's Evan. He didn't look happy, but he actually had a great time on that trip. He was 7. We went to Word of Life Hungary, which is a mission trip that College Park still has today. It's a great mission destination for families. Very safe. you come in and teach English and sports and all of that. You can bring little people. We've had lots of little people there at different times. And it's just a great way to see the Lord working at bringing, in this case, Hungarian and Romanian and Gypsy youth to Christ. And so So on that trip, that was 1 week, and then I came back, and Tom and Evan went on to Ukraine for a second week. And at the same time, he was reading this fateful book. Beverly may know what I'm going to say. He was reading Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. So he comes home. I'd been back. We just bought our house. I was busy with our new house. And he came back, and he said, well, I am just ready to sell everything and move overseas. And I was like, that's great, honey. I'm really glad you feel that way, but there's a really big problem with that idea, and that is, I am not ready to do that. We had just moved into our dream property. I was finally in an encouraging and nurturing homeschool group here at College Park, and I felt like I was living my best life. Like, at that point, I'm like, this is where I am supposed to be, right here, right now. So he talked to Nate Irwin, our missions pastor, and probably Dale Shaw at the time, and came back home and said, okay, I realize that now is not the right time for us to move our family overseas. He said, but I have a question for you. He said, what would you think if in 4 to 5 years we were to take our family overseas for 1 year and just, do something, just try it? And I said, well, you know what? God can do a lot in my heart in the next 4 or 5 years. And, we're homeschoolers. I feel a little flexible in that way. And we'd almost accepted we were pursuing an international job with Lily for a season. It didn't work out. But I was like, yeah, yeah, you know, let's do that. So he pencils out a letter and puts it on Nate and Dale's desk and says, we are committed that in 4 to 5 years, we're going to go. This is my husband, you know. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with this. But anyway, so that was that kind of decision point. And then over the next 5 or 6 years, like literally every summer, some portion of our family went to Word of Life Hungary. So there's all three of the kids that year. And that was just a really formative season for us. Yeah, you know, start them early, right? So, but, you know, just sports and English. This young man here that's hugging Evan, they became really good friends over the years. He is now teaching theology in Hungary. I mean, so you just never know how God is going to grow these relationships over time. And then back here in the States, Tom was all fired up about personal evangelism and going to Broad Ripple and handing out tracts and stuff. And so he'd take us all down to the Colts games, and we would hand out tracts and things. And so, you know, just keeping that evangelism and ministry mindset going. So in 2008, Tom was given a 1-year leave of absence by Eli Lilly to go do international missions for a year. I mean, it was just a crazy God thing, because we just feel like if we'd asked the next year, the answer would have been no. It was just God's timing. And so we packed up and left, and Katie and 5 other girls lived in our house while we were gone. And we went to Grace International School in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And Thailand is in a really unique place in Asia. So here's Thailand. Here's Chiang Mai up here. It's considered the capital of the north. And Thailand is surrounded by communist countries and countries that are very difficult either to live in or to have a continuous ministry in. So what had happened over the years is a number of families had settled in Chiang Mai because it has a good, easy airport. And they made that home base, and then dad and mom would go and travel to these other locations and do ministry, whether it was church planting or anti-sex trafficking or agricultural, or one of our friends would go into Burma with these solar cassette players, and they'd have all these sermons in their own language, and he'd just hand them out to, I mean, just all kinds of amazing ministries. And so we went there in the summer of 2008 with lots of suitcases, a cello, 2 violins, a guitar, a flute, because we're kind of a musical family, so a lot of stuff. And we went to this beautiful place. These are the foothills of the Himalayas, and this is our neighborhood. So this is looking back on the rice fields back into our neighborhood. We lived, you know, a little further back there. But it was a beautiful place. We saw all kinds of strange things we'd never seen before, like, you know, how many families can you fit on one motorbike? A few foods I said thank you, but no thank you to, like fried worms, although my husband ate some, but not, I said no. Yeah, we wore some strange things to church. just kidding. We didn't wear those to church, but had fun, you know, dressing up in the traditional dress. But basically, we were there for Tom to teach math, because he's a statistician, to teach math to 6th graders and 8th and 9th graders, algebra and such. And so we did that for a year. The kids went to school. We had a wonderful year. And then we came home and just kind of sat on it for a while. Tom went back to Lily and then decided that the Lord was calling us into a more full time. And I just want to pause right here and say something that I feel like may be important to some of you. I did not have a personal call on my life to missions. Okay? I did not. I was called to follow my husband wherever he would go. And so when my husband felt that call to missions, of course, I had to wrestle with it. I said no the first time, right? But I said, you know what? I know that God has a purpose in us going, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to jump in with you wherever it is we're going. I said, just please don't make me live in a hut in the middle of somewhere. And so that hasn't happened yet, so praise the Lord. We had a normal house with air conditioning and everything. But for that year, we had a wonderful time. And another really amazing thing about that year was that I went basically with no expectations. You know, it's like, I'm going, he's a teacher, I'm going to go and just, you know, do whatever God shows me to do. And but I didn't know what that would be. Before we went on the mission field, I thought everybody had to have a seminary degree to go do missions. And that's just not true. I mean, literally, every skill that you have, every way that you have to love and honor people and serve them can be used on the mission field. It's just an amazing thing. And while I was there, in one way or another, over the course of that year, God allowed me to use many of my gifts while I was there. And it was just this huge, like, you know, mic drop moment for me, like, okay, so God can really take anyone and use them anywhere. And that was just a beautiful thing that God did for me in that season. So we came back, and then in 2011, we went back, and we made a 6-year commitment to get our youngest through high school. So Tom was a youth pastor for a while, and while he did that, I ran the church's Sunday school program for 3 years. But mostly, he spent all of his time with students. He was a math teacher, PE teacher, high noon, 100 degrees, no problem. You know, get me out there, let me run with the kids. And so they had a great time with him because he's so much fun, because he's, what I say, a 12-year-old. So anyway, he's just right in there with him. He's running with a bunch of 12-year-olds. He coached basketball, and then he would mentor young people, so especially young men. So we did a lot. We had a lot going on in our house. Lots of hosting, lots of different groups. He got the opportunity to baptize a couple of students, which was really special. And then he took his heart for evangelism and took it into the markets there. So we would take, mostly him, but take groups of students to the local night market and just share the gospel and pray for people. So it was just a really rich, really, really rich time. And so what did I do? Well, I was the rock at home, right? So our kids were involved in sports. They were involved in music. We did those things together. We, in the early years before Kendall, our youngest, disavowed the violin, we had a quartet, and we would be able to go into the villages and play for them. And that was, they don't look happy. Actually, they were having a good time, I promise. But that was really a special time. Just a lot of worship. All of our kids led chapel groups. So we just had a lot of people coming, a lot of kids coming and going in our home all the time, which was really special. We got to do some pretty cool village work. That wasn't our main focus, but we had some really special experiences. Yes, this is Head and Shoulders, Knees and Toes. But this is McKinley Woodward. For those of you that know the Woodwards, that's McKinley. I don't know, Grant's probably, well, he's probably playing soccer somewhere else, but that was a sweet trip we had together. Just a lot of beautiful places, just seeing God's beauty everywhere we went and the beautiful people. We hosted a lot of other College Park missionaries. We were centrally located for all of Asia, so everybody pretty much came through Chiang Mai. There's Laura Henney, and just when they had, that's just three. They had just had four at the time. I don't think the baby was born yet, but maybe she was. Hosted small groups. Tom had a way of collecting new people and said, hey, come to our house for dinner. So we did a lot of that. And then we tried to support our kids' ministry. So all of our kids were Bible study leaders for younger kids. So we hosted a number of those. And then, so music and theater is my other main thing. And so while we were there, God allowed me to do things with the choirs, to be a music director. So that's Evan as the Cowardly Lion. This is the Wizard of Oz, and I'm directing the orchestra. Kristen was the Wicked Witch, and Kendall was a Munchkin Mayor or something like that. So we just did these things together. And here, just a huge heart moment for me, Godspell, which was just a wonderful proclamation of Jesus. We did it in just a real special way. Kendall was my drummer. So again, doing it together, making really nice friendships with a lot of really great students. So then the thing about bringing older kids on the field is that every 2 years, we were bringing someone. Oops, we lost your signal. Every 2 years, we were sending somebody back to college. So Evan came in the fall of 2013, Kristen in 2015, and Kendall in 2017. And so when Kendall came back, we came back for a year, said, okay, God, what's next? And God said, at least one more year in Thailand. So we went back. And then this is one of the last pictures that Tom and I took together last spring. in the school before I left to come back, and now we are in a new season. Tom is teaching two statistics classes at Butler and doing international student ministry with Jason Doddridge. We're still missionaries for the time being, but praying for what God has for us in this next season. I also do some real estate on the side. I have an Airbnb up at Taylor University and have some rentals up there that I'm about to purchase. So that's kind of fun. So that's in my new season. So, you know, that's a very, very short, obviously, encapsulation of what our life was like as missionaries and such. So what are some of my takeaways from and reflections on life in ministry so far? And the first one is family at the center. So Genesis 2:18 says, "Then the Lord said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him.'" And from the beginning, God designed a woman to be a helper fit for her husband. Therefore, if you are married, your first ministry is to your husband. And you are one flesh, and you should try to operate out of a unified vision for your family. So if your husband is involved in ministry where you can work alongside him or support him in it, then that should be a strong consideration for you. Obviously, you've heard some of the ministries that Tom has done. And anytime there was something that involved, especially hospitality, then I tried to enthusiastically get involved with him. Next is that your first disciples in ministry are your own children. I think you all already know that. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." That's actually an instruction to fathers, but you guys know you're in this together. So this is really for both mom and dad. But the thing is, you want to follow your husband's lead. And so there's always this question, well, what if my husband's not leading? Well, if he's not leading and discipling, then you need to wisely choose how to influence your children toward the gospel and ministry. We read a lot of little missionary books to our kids at bedtime. We read a scripture at dinner sometimes and talked about it, or had family devotions. Obviously, bringing your kids to church, those are things that will help lead their little hearts to God. So does that mean that your husbands can just go and do whatever ministry they want and leave us behind at home with the kids? And I would say, not exactly. That's not exactly God's intention. This scripture is talking to men who want to be deacons, and it says, "He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if one does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?" So again, the bottom line is that this is a team effort. Your marriage is ministry number one, and your children are ministry number two as a team. And obviously, when your kids are younger, you're going to get involved in things together, whether it's four-year-old soccer or, you know, Awana and bringing the neighbors. And, you know, Tom was an Awana leader for a while. Those are things that you can do as a family to disciple your own kids. So one question that we got asked a lot when we first decided to make a long-term commitment to Thailand was, how does someone with a 20-year career at Lilly decide to just quit and become a missionary? Well, before I answer that question, I want you to ponder this with me. Which is it, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every nation, or is it, lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you? Well, to be fair to the scriptures, the 1 Thessalonians verse is about a specific problem of some Christians being busybodies and sticking their nose into other people's business as well as taking advantage of Christian charity. So that is not getting you off the hook of sharing the gospel or being in ministry. But I think that we naturally have a gravitational pull one way or the other. So we're either more inclined towards, I just want to get out there and tell my neighbors, or like, I just want to stay at home and this scripture tells me I can't. So the thing is, you know, how do you know what to do? How do you know what to do next? This is when I will answer the question of how did we know that we should go to Thailand after 20 years, you know, Tom at Lilly? And this is where we have just said, we realize that over the course of time, and you can see a little bit in our life story, We just said yes to the next thing that God put in front of us. Big or small, just say yes to the next thing. It's not about like all of a sudden you wake up and go, well, I was designed to be a missionary, let's go. No, it's little things all along the way. So that's, and it's gonna change depending on what season of life you're in. And just about those seasons, Tom has said repeatedly, especially when our kids were younger, there's time for that later. 15 years from now, we will have time to do that. So what do I mean by that? Like for him, he didn't play golf when our kids were younger. You know, he made a commitment at the end of the workday, all right, I did my work at Lilly, now I need to come home and be a father and a husband and relieve my wife, take the kids out to the park so she can, you know, take her shower, you know, whatever it was. And that was something he said, you know, I can play golf later. You know, when my kids are gone, I can, or when my kids are old enough to play golf with me, we'll go play golf together. For me, it was things like, you know, I would have loved to have done community theater when I was in my prime, but that was also when my kids were little, you know, and it's like I didn't want to be gone for many, many nights just doing something that was fun for me. So instead, I channeled it through my kids, and I got my kids involved in theater. So that was that's how we solved that dilemma. That worked out well. That worked out well. So what about this young mother season that you're in? What does it look like for you? How should you decide, you know, what you're involved in? Well, let's look again at God's word. And in Titus 2, 3 through 5, and this is a passage that I'm sure is familiar to you, but this was written for older women on what they should teach younger women. And it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, are slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. I am not saying that you're supposed to stay at home all day long and, you know, that's where you have to always be. No. The point is there's a lot of work to do at home. You know, there's just a lot of work to do at home when your kids are little. So that is where you and your husband are going to decide as a family, how do you divide and conquer, you know, this home life that we have. And this means that your main concern should be loving your husband and your children well, and this will affect the ministries that you are involved in. So let me just address, like, we just got a wonderful update from this table's global mom, which happens to be, I'm in side B, and she happens to be our table mom, our global mom. And it was just like such a, so it was just so real. Like she's struggling with her diet and she's struggling with her energy and she's struggling with, you know, perspective. So what do young missionary moms do? Well, they take care of their husbands and their kids and they manage their homes. And I will say that in a lot of third world countries, you can afford a house helper. So that's just, you know, just putting that out there. That if you move to a third world country, you can have someone clean, you know, wash your dishes and do your laundry, and that's not a bad thing. But still, obviously, it's the mom who is responsible for, you know, keeping those things together. So it's really not any different. She may also have some big mission responsibilities, but she and her husband together have to make sure that the home is well managed and their own children are disciplined. So I just want to take a little sidetrack here just to talk about hospitality for a minute, because this is such a powerful and God-honoring ministry that you can have in your lives. It's a great way to one another, right? And it's a great example for your kids. Everyone can get involved in helping pick up and slicing the carrots and putting out the napkins, learning how to play with other children and share their toys. Like, this is a big deal, right, when you're little. It's like, well, that person, that you know, that's mine. And learning how to talk to adults and all of those things. So hospitality is a wonderful opportunity and something that we should all be growing in. And don't get hung up on your house being perfect, okay? They're not coming to see your house. They're coming to see you. Just one tip, it's the basket or the box method. Some of you are probably nodding your head, yes, we do this in our home. You have a basket or a box that's designated for each other room other than the living area. So when it's time to pick up, all of Tommy's things go in his basket, and it goes up to his room, and all of Sally's things go in her basket, and the rec room things go in that basket, and in 5 or 10 minutes, the whole family, you know, with the Barney song, clean up, right? Yep, so you can all get involved and get that done, and it, and then, you know, you can have room for the next family to come in, and it's all good. Another tip, plan ahead. Find 1 to 3 meals that you absolutely slay, you know, that, and one of them can be the take and bake pizza from Costco or Domino's carryout. Like, it's fine, right? It's fine. Everybody loves pizza. But I've done this all through my married life, is there were several meals that I know how to cook. I know how to do them well. They're easy. And I joke about how my daughter's best friend, when she'd come over and eat with us, I think she ate the same 2 or 3 things like over the course of 10 years, like every time, because it just happened to be that was the night. It's like, oh, it's the Greek roasted chicken night. Okay, we're going to have the, you know, but that's fine, right? Because you're not going to have the same people over, you know, every time. So unless it's your kid's best friend, but that's okay. So just grow in the area of hospitality and try to, you know, get over any hang-ups you have about inviting people in, because it's a wonderful way to love other people. Okay, lies women believe about ministry. I should say yes to everything I'm asked to do. No, you are not supposed to say yes. You need to understand your limitations and the needs of your family. And this gets back to the seasons we talked about. There are some seasons where you just have to say no to things in order to be your best for him and for your husband and for your kids, because we all know if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? So figure out how to be happy, because that's going to help everybody. So don't be afraid to say no. And always check with your husband and your close friends or mentors, you know, before you say yes to something. Ask them what they think, and they'll have an opinion, you know, for you, I'm sure. So that's always helpful to get other counsel. God will love me more if I do this ministry. Okay, now we can all say, no, I would not fall into that temptation. But the problem is that we are all deep down. We love checklists. We want man-made assurances of our salvation, right? So we can all fall into this. If I do this, then God will see me as worth saving. And you know that that is not true. So don't believe it. And the last lie I have is that I am of less value than her because I can't do the ministry that she does, right? Again, that is not true. And this is where we go back to God's word to be reminded of what God has given each of us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that's for each of you individually. And her ministry is not your ministry. And you need to be okay with that. And you need to celebrate the fact that God has given you something special to do. And right now that might mean just, you know, grinding up your baby food and changing diapers and keeping dinner on the table. That may be for this season. That may be it. And that's okay. That is right for you at this time. My last point, bloom where you are planted. So now we're talking about your heart. We're talking about your attitude, wherever God has you. How do you do this? How do you find your joy and satisfaction? First, ask God to show you where he is already working. When you're trying to figure out, well, what am I supposed to do, Lord? Ask him to show you where he's already working, and he will invite you in. It may be as simple as your next-door neighbor, right? You're outside playing with your kids, and so is she. And that may be where your ministry is supposed to be. Be unified with your husband. Have you talked together about a vision of ministry for your family? He will have a lot of insights into how he sees you helping him and helping others. Okay, so then there's that other elephant in the room. But what if he is not leading my family? You know, that's something that you have to just prayerfully consider, how you can come alongside him without taking over what you feel like he is lacking in. One of the questions that I've gotten over the years, specifically with regard to missions and husbands, is like, I really feel this call to go overseas, but my husband just isn't there, and I feel like I'm missing out because I'm not able to do what I feel like God has called me to do. And again, you are in a season with your husband, with your kids, and God is going to make clear to you as a couple what direction you should go. So you need to work hard at not, you know, it's dying to dreams, basically. If you had this one dream and that's not the dream that your husband has, then you just have to lay it before the Lord. Discover the joy of serving your family. And I think this is one of those things where, again, in this season, it's easy for different things to steal your joy. But this, we've already, you know, just examined that, you know, this is God's will for your life. So if you're not feeling joy, ask God to show you where your struggles are coming from. Understand your spiritual gifts and find ways to use your talents to bless others. We don't always get to operate out of our strengths, but I think in a lot of ways we generally do. And so if you've never done a spiritual gift test or finder, Google it. They're all online, and you can kind of go through some questions. And again, your husband, your friends will give you some good guidance as to what they think you are good at that you can use, that God has given you that you can use to bless others. And again, I said before, one of the huge surprises for me on the field was that God started using all these different things that I wasn't expecting, but then God showed me how I could use this and that gift that he had given me. And my last point here is do not fear. 1 Peter 3:5 through 6 says, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." And that's my message about the fear is don't fear anything that's frightening because God is going before you. I'll end with an old Saxon poem that was famously quoted by pioneer missionary woman Elizabeth Elliot. She says, "Do it immediately, do it with prayer, do it reliantly, casting all care. Do it with reverence, tracing his hand who placed it before thee with earnest command. Stayed on omnipotence, safe neath his wing, leave all resultings, do the next thing." And that's my prayer for you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin. There are discussion questions on your tables, so please start talking.